For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Becerro. Thank you all for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. And don't forget, if you think somebody might be interested in the show and they're not in the local listening area, they can stream the show online on Sundays when it airs from 10 to 11 by going to www.federalnewsradio.com. We also have all of our previously recorded shows. It's about 7 years now of archive shows on the Village Green website for you to listen to. You can go there at www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a microphone icon. If you click on it, it will take you to that archive show section. Looking forward to educating you guys today. We're going to be talking about the menopausal years. We've talked about some issues related to menopause in the past, in regards to hormone replacement. We had a leading medical doctor expert in the world of hormone replacement on about a month ago. He did a great show helping us understand some of the ins and outs of hormone replacement. Of course, there's a lot of controversy around hormone replacement since around 2003, when some studies came out showing that it could possibly be dangerous. And of course, if you look at that data a little closer, we can see that using the right types of hormones for the right amount of time and the right doses can actually be very safe and confer some benefits. It's not that it doesn't have any risk, but I think the initial concerns that were come up in that study are not set in stone. So anyway, today we're not going to be spending too much time on the hormone issue. We're going to be talking more about nutrition and what to do from a lifestyle perspective, because, of course, a lot of women can manage a lot of the menopausal and hormonal issues that start to shift around that time if they pay very close attention to their lifestyle, if they pay very close attention to their nutrition and to their diet. So it should be a great discussion. I have on the phone with me today Dr. Jennifer Johnson. She's a naturopathic physician. She is the Associate Dean for Clinical Education and a Clinical Associate Professor in the School of Naturopathic Medicine at Bastyr University. Since receiving her naturopathic degree in 2002, Dr. Johnson has been involved in direct patient care in both private practice and in teaching clinics. She offers care in general medicine with a specialty in comprehensive women's health care, offering care for women of all ages. She provides nutritional advice, including weight management, treatment for hormonal and thyroid imbalances, and preconception care and the management of pregnancy issues. Dr. Johnson was previously the Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs and Assistant Clinical Professor at the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine in Connecticut. She supervised the naturopathic teaching clinics for the past 8 years. She enjoys giving talks to educate patients, healthcare providers, and the general public about naturopathic medicine. She's covered a wide range of topics from bone health at osteoporosis support groups in Maine to women's hormone balance at integrated healthcare symposiums in New York. She's also taught the classroom courses Mind-Body Medicine and Physician Heal Thyself. Dr. Johnson spends time educating her patients about their bodies, the reasons for illness, and ways to improve their health. She encourages all of her patients to be actively involved in their own health care, and her greatest hope is that patients will feel empowered to make the positive changes that will improve their health. Dr. Johnson, thank you for being on the show with us today. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure.
Great. So, I mean, you know, most people, the topic of menopause is relatively widely known. I don't necessarily think there's a woman around who's never heard that term, in understanding that it's a phase in a woman's life when hormones start to change as ovarian function declines, which is associated with age. Men go through a similar process called andropause, where they make less testosterone as they get older. It can be a little bit less dramatic, and the changes in estrogen seem to impact women and create more obvious symptoms than what happens in men. In men, the process does seem to be a little bit more subtle, although men can experience things like insomnia and night sweats and mood changes, which are very similar symptoms associated with menopause. So we're not here to talk about andropause today. We're talking about menopause, but I thought I'd bring up the conversation and maybe you can just give a brief overview of menopause and, you know, average time frame of when it occurs. And it's a little confusing because menopause really refers to not having a period for a full year, whereas many women start to experience the quote-unquote menopausal symptoms, hot flashes, insomnia, there can be mood changes, there can be other changes with their body, weight gain. can sometimes happen, like, you know, a couple years before their periods even start to get irregular. So, you know, it's kind of a vague term. Maybe you can help us understand a little bit better to start a framework for the conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the period leading up to menopause, and like you just defined, menopause is the lack of having a menstrual cycle for 12 consecutive months. And so absolutely, years before the onset of that phase of life, menopause, women will have varying changes to their menstrual cycle. So the cycle might be, they might skip a month, it might be, the flow might be different, it might be heavier or lighter, and just more erratic. And that change, so the average age for menopausal onset, I believe, is 53. And we will see changes, we'll say that it's perimenopausal changes. And those can occur generally 5 years before the onset of menopause, but I've seen clinically up to 10 years before the onset of menopause, right? So there's a wide variety in the timing of when symptoms will start to occur. And so, like I said, you know, women will notice a change to their actual cycle. There may be other symptoms that will crop up around that time or seemingly unrelated, but can track back to the onset of perimenopausal time, meaning, as you mentioned, hot flashes, but also one of the early symptoms may be insomnia, changes to the sleep cycle, and the exact reasons can be linked somewhat to estrogen and somewhat to our other hormone levels in our body as they start to fluctuate just a bit, can set different symptoms, you know, off, one being insomnia, one being the change in the cycle, and mood changes can start at that time. It's quite a bit of variety that women experience in their symptoms.
Sure. And I mean, really, it's just a reflection of hormone shifting. And many women, you know, experience this even during their younger reproductive years as hormones shift in, with their monthly cycles, particularly before the menstrual cycle, right, when hormones start to drop off and fluctuate, which is the cue to the body that there, you know, wasn't a pregnancy that held, and it's the initiation of the menstrual cycle. And so some of those symptoms become can become a little bit more pronounced. They can become more sustained. And really, the symptoms that you see in perimenopause, you can look at it in one way as if, okay, well, the hormones are changing and the ovaries aren't working quite as well and there's less hormone production. But really, you know, when you're, when my experience, and you can let me know how you feel about Dr. Johnson, really what I'm, what I feel like I'm seeing, especially in the perimenopausal symptoms that occur 5 years or even seven, or sometimes, as you said, 10 years, you know, before menopause, is really, it's just, it's another just sign of some hormonal imbalance. And you don't necessarily need to look for huge therapies like hormone replacement if you just give the body the correct support in balancing its hormones and creating a better balance within itself. You sometimes see a lot of these symptoms start to resolve and improve, and then maybe you'll see some a recurrence of these symptoms later on when the ovaries actually really start to decline in their function.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You're correct. The body does have an amazing way of figuring out how to get back to homeostasis, right, to balance. And so I feel like that is largely my job, is to support women through these changes and offer ways to help with the symptoms that are uncomfortable, right? And so insomnia starting up, sometimes just the mood changes. It can be, like you were saying, a recurrence of symptoms that women have had historically, or just an increase in symptoms that they have had. So anxiety can crop up, and even depression are not unusual signs of early perimenopause.
Yeah.
And so really just figuring out what's going on, what's triggering this change, can really help women to understand why it's happening, and that it can be a normal phase, and that it doesn't last forever, and really offering support and ways for the hormones to get back to balance. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, the depression one is interesting that you mentioned. I mean, sometimes, you know, depression is sort of thought of as this condition where, you know, you see the commercials on TV and it's, you know, that little cartoon guy and there's like a rain cloud over his head and he's really sad and he's kind of moping around. And, you know, it's sort of this extreme picture that, that people paint. And there's a lot of you know, women and men that go through andropause as well when hormones shift, that they've never really had predispositions to depression before. And some of the symptoms that they that may be identified as depression are, it's a little bit more subtle. And sometimes what I hear a lot is, it's not so much like a crying, can't get out of bed kind of depression, but there's what I hear almost just like an apathy. There's just sort of a lack of interest in things that used to be exciting or interesting. So there's a seems to be a lack of motivation even to engage in the activities that they used to enjoy, whether it be hobbies or work or family activities. And it just subtle little changes like that can often, you know, be a sign that things are starting to shift, because we know that estrogen and progesterone and the primary hormones related to a woman's hormonal cycles have a very, very strong impact on the brain chemistry, and serotonin receptors and dopamine and GABA receptors and all of the different neurotransmitters that circulate in our brain and the receptors that are needed to bind them are dramatically affected by these hormones. And so having that hormonal balance and helping the body to strike that hormonal balance does support optimal brain chemistry. So when we get back from the break, Dr. Johnson, I'd like to kind of start getting into this a little bit. And now that we've defined a little bit about what menopause is and what some of the symptoms are, I'd like to talk about what we can do about it. You know, we've discussed this idea of helping to support the body in balancing its hormones, but how do we do that? And I'd love to kind of cover, obviously, nutrition. Maybe we can talk about some of the other naturopathic principles and protocols that are oftentimes used to support hormonal balance. And maybe if we have time, we can even get your input and thoughts on hormone replacement, which is obviously sometimes a controversial topic. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by The Village Green. We're going to be back right after these breaks, so don't touch that dial.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. It's always my pleasure to be here with you. And today we're talking about menopause. We have Dr. Jennifer Johnson. She's a naturopathic physician. She is currently the Associate Dean for Clinical Education and the Clinical Associate Professor in the School of Naturopathic Medicine at Bastyr University. She's got a long history of clinical practice in working with women and all sorts of women's health issues, everything from preconception care to menopause issues. So in the last segment, Dr. Johnson, we were defining a little bit about menopause and some of the symptoms that come up. If there's any topics that we left out that you'd like to cover before we move on, please feel free. If not, I'd love to start talking about some nutritional approaches to supporting hormonal balance during this phase of a woman's life.
Absolutely. Diet is the first place that I like to work on with my perimenopausal and menopausal women, just to find out what they're eating, what their concept of good nutrition is, ways that we can improve their baseline, what their intake is for macro and micronutrients. So I really encourage women to eat as much as possible a whole foods diet, which I'm sure your listeners have heard about over the years. And really thinking about how can you pack in good nutrition to each and every meal that you have throughout your day. I know many of us tend to eat on the run. We tend to skip meals. We tend to forget about just the basic reason why we need to eat. And just the overall importance good nutrition can have on our ability to do things like make hormones and keep all of our hormones at their most appropriate level. For if we don't have the building blocks, then it makes it very difficult to make hormones. So what are hormones made from? They are made from fats and amino acids, and if we don't get those from the diet, it makes it very difficult to be able to build them. So it's just working on finding out where my patients are, you know, what is it that they like to eat, and working from that level to make sure that they're understanding what whole foods really means. And so learning about their interest in cooking is also another area of, you know, patients get tired of being told of what to eat, but without clear direction, it makes it very difficult. So going through whole grains and why are whole grains better than processed grains? Again, you can get more micronutrients out of whole grains. There's cofactors that occur in whole grains that are removed when you have processed grains. So starting from the very ground up, I mean, most people know that they should eat a certain amount of fruits and vegetables, 5 to 7 servings, right, every day. But how do women really get this in? How do they make time within their busy lives to chop vegetables and pack them along for their day so that they are really reaching their maximal intake? And so I just try to start from the ground up, like I'm saying, figuring out how to incorporate really healthy foods throughout the day, every day. So whole grains, fruits and vegetables, and then protein sources, looking at clean sources of protein that are easy to digest, that are, again, easy to get throughout the day. And then we have to have the conversation around soy. Is this something that is helpful for women or harmful? And I'm sure, again, your listeners have been hearing so much about it over the years. And I have seen such a benefit for my patients who have soy in their diet on a regular basis. And we go through the options of what does that mean? Should it be processed soy? Should it be, you know, as close to whole soy as possible? And it's a very involved conversation that I like to have with my patients. Ideally, they're getting soy into their diet that is as little processed as possible. And again, it has all of these wonderful isoflavones, which have been shown to really mitigate the symptoms of perimenopause. So help to simmer down the hot flashes, help women to sleep, help with the moodiness, help with so much of that hormone imbalance that they experience. I've seen just fantastic things with just simply adding soy back to the diet.
Okay, so you've brought up like a lot of really important points here that I want to kind of go back and touch on in a little bit more detail. You ended sort of the conversation with soy, so let's start with that a little bit, because
sure.
It is kind of a controversial topic. I mean, soy was kind of the darling of the health food industry when, mm-hmm. you know, 10, 15 years ago when the health food industry really started to make a resurgence and people were buying soy milk and, you know, everybody was thrilled to be a vegetarian and eat all sorts of processed soy and things of that nature. And then there was backlash, you know, and now soy is kind of like, you know, the black sheep of the health food industry. You know, nobody wants soy milk anymore. Everybody's buying almond milk and coconut milk. And there's, you know, and now kale is the new darling of the health food industry with, you know, probably Brussels sprouts on the rise right after it. But, you know, I mean, let's talk about it for a minute. When you clearly said in the most unprocessed form as possible. So can you explain that a little bit so people can get an idea of what you're referring to and define a little bit about what you consider to be healthy sources of soy versus yeah. non-healthy sources of soy?
Absolutely. Like you were saying, you know, I've seen many, many folks as vegetarians over the years. And what that historically meant was people eating, you know, processed soy that turned into the shape of hot dogs or turned into cheese or, you know, the soy milk products. And so in order to get soy into those shapes, it does take a certain amount of processing, food processing. And when you're processing soy to that level, you are kind of stripping the soybean itself from its natural goodness, right? You're taking some of the elements out to be able to process it. Whole food eating is going back to as limited processing as possible. So when you go to your Japanese restaurant and they have edamame as your appetizer option, those are soybean pods. Those are soybeans that have been picked from the plant and cooked. And so that is the closest you can get to, you know, unadulterated soy. And then the next on my list is tofu. It is processed to look like it does, but it's minimally processed. And so it has more of its goodness and more of its potential to actually be a helpful ingredient in the diet that's going to help, again, with having a higher level of inherent isoflavones and more of an action to help to keep our hormones at a healthy level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it is. It's a great point. What I like to sort of let people think of is, I mean, what forms of soy have people been eating for thousands of years? You know, I mean, that's, mm-hmm. if you use that guideline, you're going to stumble upon forms of soy that are less processed. So you talked about tofu, and tofu also enjoys a fermentation process. And we know that fermentation of foods can sometimes enhance digestibility. Tempeh is, you know, also sort of a more traditional type. Miso is a fermented, basically type of soy used in things like miso soups. Of course, you talked about edamame, which is just the soybean pods, which basically has a high content of protein. So, I mean, a lot of those are really good forms of soy, and I agree that including those in a diet on a sort of regular basis, not overdoing it, but using them, you know, in the diet as you would in a traditional culture, I think does confer very likely some health benefits. And particularly related to hormonal balance, because you've talked about these isoflavones. You know, there's been some controversial kind of research. Do they contribute to breast cancer? Do they prevent breast cancer? I think as the research has sort of shaken itself out over the last 5 to 10 years, what we've seen is a much more positive correlation with health benefits rather than a health detriment. So we see, we see things related to cancer risk. We see things related to heart disease risk that where isoflavones in soy seem to minimize it. So I think there are some great, great benefits in looking at soy as a possible food. I think, you know, Dr. Johnson, there are a couple other issues that come up around soy, which I'm sure listeners, at least really savvy listeners, are already asking questions about. One has to do with genetic modification. I mean, soy is one of these core crops. We grow sort of more of soy and corn and wheat in this country than anything else. And soy has a high rate of being genetically modified. And of course, we're seeing, and there's been a lot of emerging research just over the last couple years that's really putting a spotlight on the potential problems of genetically modified food. So one way that you can look to that is look for packaging where it's labeled organic, because at this point in time, organic foods should not be genetic or cannot be genetically modified by law. Or you can look for other indications on packaging, whether it's not or it's organic or not, basically conferring that it's not genetically modified. And, you know, I really think that we're going to see more and more problems with genetically modified organisms and the research that it bears out over the next, you know, 10 to 20 years. The other issue, I think, Dr. Johnson, that you'll hear come up a lot with soy, and this is particularly, I think, pertinent to this group of women that we're talking about, has to do with the relationship between soy and thyroid function. And some concerns around soy and its ability to potentially negatively impact the function of the thyroid. And I say it's particularly pertinent for this age group because a lot of women will first be diagnosed with a thyroid problem at times in their lives when they have major hormonal shifts. Pregnancy, menopause is another one. So you're dealing with a patient population that has a higher likelihood of just being recently diagnosed or sometime in the near future possibly being diagnosed with a thyroid problem based on that hormonal shift. So I'm going to set you up with those questions and kind of let you answer whatever you like.
Yeah, absolutely. You are right on with the thyroid function having issues, certainly at this phase. Like you say, during the hormonal transitional phases, we'll see hypothyroid symptoms, sometimes hyperthyroid in women where the thyroid is being triggered in ways that normally doesn't. So again, there is a very clear connection between estrogen levels and thyroid function. And so when estrogen is fluctuating, we can see that same fluctuation in thyroid function. Interestingly, particularly soy, soy does not have a clear action on the thyroid. However, if there is iodine deficiency in the body, so women, for whatever reason, is not getting a sufficient amount of iodine, with soy on board, there can be a potential action directly on the thyroid, lowering thyroid function. So it's really only under specific circumstance that soy could impact thyroid function directly. Thyroid is sensitive, well, the thyroid supplementation, so thyroid hormone, women who take Synthroid or Armour Thyroid, there is a binding that can happen with soy in the digestive tract and preventing absorption of those hormones directly into the body. So basically, it's actually any large mineral can prevent the absorption of that hormone. So if you take Synthroid or Armour Thyroid, it's really important to eat your soy at least 4 hours away from taking your morning dose of your hormone. It's not contraindicated all day long. It's just if you take them at the same time, you will prevent absorption. It's the same thing with calcium, magnesium, iron. Any of those larger mineral molecules can prevent the absorption of your thyroid hormone. And so I think many people have taken that to mean that soy is a bad thing to take if you have thyroid dysfunction, which is not exactly true. So being informed is really important. So soy can be really helpful, but you just, again, have to be clear on when to eat it and what form is best for your body.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with what we've already discussed in regards to what form of soy you're taking and how much you're ingesting. So the more highly processed forms of soy may be more likely to cause problems either in hypothyroid people based on some of the, while it doesn't have a direct effect on the thyroid. Some of the issues with iodine, and there are many people that are somewhat iodine deficient, if you have certain susceptibility with your thyroid function, you may be more susceptible to some negative benefits of soy. In women with perfectly healthy thyroid function, there doesn't really seem to be any correlation. Now, people consuming large amounts of processed soy, and I've seen this in a few instances where people are doing, weight loss programs that rely very heavily on shakes and protein shakes where they drink those mostly throughout the day, where they're primarily soy-based, you can start to see some abnormalities in thyroid function. And some of that is in patients taking thyroid medicine, which relates back to exactly what Dr. Johnson just talked about, where really what might be happening is the soy that they're taking may be inhibiting the absorption of the thyroid medicine that they're taking, throwing off the ranges. So I think, if you're following the guidelines that we've discussed in regards to eating soy in a primarily more natural form, less processed form, and using it in moderation in the diet, I don't think there's really too much to worry about in relation to thyroid function. But it is a topic that people discuss and that's written about a lot. And many people, there's lots of websites and things out there that recommend that any thyroid patient needs to stay as far away from soy as possible. Okay, there's a couple other nutrition topics that I really, really want to get to, but we're going to have to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to be picking up this conversation. We're going to talk about not just healthy foods, but we're going to talk about some of the negative effects of junk foods on your system and how they affect your hormones. And I'd like to just touch again on some of the aspects of omega-3s and fats in our diet and how they relate to hormones. And then I want to talk about foods that support hormone balance in general, as well as some herbs if we have time to get to it. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. We're going to be back right after this break. Don't touch that dial.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Want to save money on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other healthcare needs? Then visit Village Green Apothecary during our big summer sale. Now through July 18th, you can save big on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other nutritional products. Save 30% on our popular top quality pathway brand, save 25% on other supplements, and save 20% on body care products. At Village Green, we have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle. Stop by Village Green Apothecary's big summer sale, 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland, or shop online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and we're on the phone with Dr. Jennifer Johnson discussing nutritional approaches to menopause. I do want to touch on one thing, Dr. Johnson. in relation to soy that I just thought of that we forgot to cover in the last segment. You know, when we sort of talked about the genetically modified aspect and we talked about its role in thyroid function, and if a woman decides that she wants to look at using soy as a sort of food-based way to address some menopausal symptoms, what is she looking at as far as consumption? Are we talking about eating, you know, a serving of tofu once a week? Like, what are you recommending to patients, and what are you seeing as being effective when actually using soy almost as a therapy for supporting these changes?
That's a really good question. The general, yeah, taking soy once a week may not have a significant therapeutic effect. And so having soy, a serving of soy, so you look at your container and it will tell you how much a serving is. So having a serving of soy every day, possibly every other day, will actually be pretty sustaining for some women. Some women will need a higher level to get to more of a therapeutic dose of certain isoflavones, where they'll see a change in their perimenopausal symptoms, particularly hot flashes. May need a bit of a higher amount, but really one to two servings daily can be helpful. I don't like to have women eat soy like you were talking about earlier. We were talking about women who might be on a soy-based diet for weight loss or, you know, taking soy more than three times a day. I really get nervous with high doses or high supplementation like that. But a serving a day, possibly two for a limited amount of time, of, again, as minimally processed soy, I've seen be very effective, particularly with perimenopausal symptoms.
Okay, great. That's super helpful. Any other foods that you really like women to look at? I mean, soy is one notoriously that does have some estrogenic effects. There are some other foods out there that do seem to also have some phytoestrogens. Are there other ones of note that you also really encourage women to include in their diet?
Absolutely. I recommend ground flax seeds for the same reason, having the potential mimicking estrogenic effect. And that's easy enough to throw into smoothies or put onto salads. A few tablespoons a day can really just, again, help to simmer down those perimenopausal symptoms that they're experiencing. And then particularly looking at foods that all of the cruciferous vegetables, do we know what those are? Cruciferous being broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Those have a natural component, the DIM, diindol method. You can help me out with the long word of the diindol. But that can really help to, again, help with liver support for hormone balance.
Sure. So when, yeah, and I think that's a great point. I love flax seeds. They're just to go back, they have compounds in them called lignans and these wonderful phytoestrogens. There doesn't seem to be, you know, any link between thyroid issues for women that are still concerned about the soy issue, and they can be very beneficial in supporting, you know, hormonal balance and hormonal health in both, you know, reproductive years and during perimenopause. And a couple tablespoons a day is a great dose. It's also a wonderful form of fiber and does provide some really good quality fats with the alpha-linolenic acid as an omega-3 fatty acid to support healthy fatty acid balance. Now, when we get into the cruciferous vegetables, I think the conversation of the liver becomes really important when dealing with hormonal health in women. And most people sort of wonder, well, what does the liver have to do with it? And what I tell people is that, you know, your body basically treats hormones like toxins, at least in regards to detoxification. And, you know, your body is continually producing hormones, and when they've done their job, they need to go to the liver to be detoxified and excreted. And, you know, women think, well, geez, I'm perimenopausal and I'm losing my estrogen anyway. Why would I want to help my body get it out even faster? And it's not so much about getting it out faster. It's about processing it and eliminating it in a way that is the most supportive and helpful to the body. And this has to do with the different pathways of the liver and how the liver breaks things down. And there are some metabolites of estrogen. Your liver has these two phases of detoxification. phase one and phase two. And after estrogen goes through phase one, it needs to go through another phase. And there's different pathways in which it can go down. And some of those pathways can create metabolites that are even more toxic and more damaging to the body than the estrogen itself. There are other pathways that seem to confer a lot more benefit, where we have a very benign metabolite that seems very safe and very easy for the body to excrete and manage. And this is a very important part in looking at hormonal balance in general. And really what I look at, particularly in those women that are, you know, 3 to 4 years, you know, before they're in that perimenopausal phase, they're still having regular periods, but they've noticed that, let's say, for example, their cycles are much heavier, or the PMS is much worse, or they're starting to experience insomnia. We're not at a point where we're needing to really give them more hormone. We're at a point where we need to help their bodies balance their hormones. And the liver is absolutely key to balancing female hormones. And as you talked about, this compound in broccoli, diindolmethane, or DIM, that also occurs as indole-3-carbinol, as another related type of compound, supports the metabolism of estrogen via the liver to a very favorable metabolite that seems to be less correlated to things like breast cancer, to things like uterine fibroids, to things like ovarian cysts, and other symptoms related to basically difficulty with menstruation or hormonal balance. And this segues really nicely, Dr. Johnson, I don't know how much more you want to cover on that topic, to other ways of looking at herbal therapies or other natural therapies in supporting hormone balance in women.
Botanicals have been used, you know, for so long, right, for thousands of years. We have the folkloric use, we have modern use, which is so fascinating that we have modern scientific capabilities to show whether or not what we've been doing with these herbs for millennia is actually what we think is working.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can find great herbs to help to, again, simmer down the side effects, the symptoms that women experience. I have used black cohosh for years off and seen fantastic results, particularly with hot flashes. There are many products that have particular amount of black cohosh that has been fantastic, great results. Just taking once a day, women will really have great effects in their side effects that they're experiencing, their symptoms of hot flashes in particular.
Yeah, black cohosh is one that people have turned to for a really long time. It has some good clinical data and seems to be very effective for a lot of women, specifically with, as you discussed, those vasomotor symptoms, those hot flashes. But they also, you know, the hot flashes also relate to night sweats, which can be a contributing factor to insomnia. So getting the vasomotor symptoms under control can really be a big deal, because if they're happening at night in the form of night sweats, it can be incredibly disruptive for sleep. And as your sleep quality declines, so does your mood, so do your energy levels, you know, all sorts of things start to fall apart when you don't sleep well. There are some other really great herbs as well. Black cohosh, certainly, as we get into the vasomotor symptoms, I like to talk about the perimenopausal point, because honestly, that's where there seems to be the least available as far as in the mainstream medical interventions for women when they're in that, you know, 5 years before, a few years before menopause, when they're having all sorts of hormonal symptoms that are going on and everybody's looking at them. They run their blood tests. They say, well, your blood tests don't show you're in menopause yet. But, you know, women are clearly identifying that something is very different with my hormones. I'm experiencing a lot of symptoms and it is very uncomfortable. And, you know, black cohosh may or may not be indicated at that point if there aren't vasomotor symptoms. Other great ones for hot flashes, there's a Chinese rhubarb extract that I've had excellent results with. You know, we have lots of different companies that help sponsor the show. I'm not even sure if Metagenics is a sponsor right now, but they make a product called Estrovera, which we have at the Village Green, which is a Chinese rhubarb extract, which I've seen do really well. Dong Quai is another Chinese-based herb that can be used in combination with black cohosh and some of these other herbs to support hormonal balance. When I'm looking at, you know, helping women that are in that perimenopausal phase, You know, I really like Vitex because sometimes, and Dr. Johnson, maybe you can speak to this, in that perimenopausal time period, sometimes it's not the estrogen that's really so off. Sometimes if you focus on supporting progesterone balance, you can get a lot of results. Is that something you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. Vitex, also known as chaste tree berry, again, is a traditional herb that has been used for all different phases of transition in women's life, right? When this perimenopausal time, like you're speaking about, the progesterone production starts to falter and can be somewhat erratic. And so what happens is the ovulation is really where the dysfunction starts, right? So that can be early, early phases of perimenopause where for months the cycle is normal and then there's a skipping of a menstrual cycle or, you know, again, the flow can change from heavy to very light. And so that can be a symptom that, or a sign rather, that ovulation is becoming more erratic. So Vitex chaste tree berry, interestingly, historically has been used to help to regulate just overall timing of ovulation. And it's a very simple herb, just using it exclusively by itself, I have seen great effects in helping to regulate the cycle to be more normal, both at both phases. So when younger women are starting on to, you know, menarche at the onset of their cycle to help to regulate ovulation for younger women, and then at the later part of their reproductive years with the perimenopausal changes. Yeah, Vitex is a wonderful herb.
It is a wonderful herb. It seems to be more geared at you know, you said supporting ovulation and really supporting progesterone. I think, you know, using Vitex by itself is great. Certainly when there seems to be this shift in hormonal balance before there's obvious, you know, menopausal issues, using Vitex along with liver supportive herbs seems to be a wonderful combination because you're supporting the proper breakdown, metabolism, elimination, and balance of hormones while via the liver, while also supporting normal production via the ovaries. And that's a wonderful combination. And I would say that, you know, there's a long history in naturopathic medicine and botanical medicine in using liver supportive herbs to support hormonal balance. And those herbs tend to be things like burdock root is traditionally used to support liver function. Dandelion root is more versus the leaves. The root is more supportive for liver function and detoxification. Milk thistle, many people have heard of that. These are all herbs that seem to support liver function and definitely contribute to hormonal balance. And then if you follow that up by looking in your diet and including more cruciferous vegetables, certainly we haven't even talked about this, but some of the concerns about, you know, eating a lot of dairy-based products and certain meat-based products that tend to potentially be raised with certain types of hormones or have inflammatory fats in them, those seem to have some negative impacts on hormonal balance, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I referred to earlier about clean protein sources. So again, looking where your animals are being raised and how they're being fed, if you are eating meats that come from grass-fed animals, from cows in particular, you have a less likely chance of having inflammatory markers in the meat itself, which is so interesting. It's really beneficial for women to eat less red meats when they're going through, particularly it's the vasomotor symptoms, the hot flashes. I've seen women definitely have fewer experiences of night sweats and hot flashes when they're looking at just simple things like protein in their diet and good, better sources of protein. So leaner red meats, again, from grass-fed animals can be very beneficial because of lower levels of the arachidonic acid. The arachidonic acid can be an inflammatory compound in our bodies. And so if we take less of that in through the diet, we can see less symptoms. My other favorite source for protein in women's diets around this time of life would be fish, because it's higher in omega-3 fatty acids, and omega-3 fatty acids tend to have an anti-inflammatory effect overall in the body. So again, can really help to lower the symptoms of hot flashes and the night sweats.
Yeah, absolutely, about balancing those inflammatory pathways, and diet is a very, very powerful tool in which to do that. When we come back from the break, we're going to be wrapping up the conversation. There are a few other nutrition topics that I'd like to discuss that are incredibly helpful tips. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after these words.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Thank you all for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero. My co-host Dana Lake will be back next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. We've been talking with Dr. Jennifer Johnson about menopausal and hormonal issues and talking about nutrition, diet. We've discussed some herbs and supplements that may be helpful. In this last segment, I'd like to just kind of touch on a few last really sort of often overlooked but really important dietary considerations when we're looking at nutrition as a way to support the symptoms and hormonal imbalances that occur as a woman takes that shift from her reproductive years into menopause. So, you know, go ahead, Dr. Johnson. I think there, you know, we've talked in the break about some different ideas. I'd love for you to bring them up and help our listeners understand.
Right. When I started out talking, when I start working with women who are experiencing perimenopausal changes and symptoms, commonly they're coming in with hot flashes because they're most noticeable, and then the related night sweats, and as you mentioned, insomnia, and all of the fatigue that goes along with experiencing that is very challenging. And so looking at diet, again, very simple place to start, but when women are eating foods that trigger hot flashes, it's hard to actually track back. When they clean up the diet, they can figure out, oh, that was triggering my hot flashes. So things that I have seen actually trigger hot flashes, and there is confirmation in the literature, alcohol women will think, you know, after a long day, it's nice to just sit back, relax. I'm stressed today. Why not just have a glass of wine? Unfortunately, that can absolutely trigger the hot flashes. So watching that, seeing that, if that is a trigger, very essential for women. And then simple things like sugar. I mean, we all love sugar, but we all know how damaging it can be. Women who indulge in higher levels of sugar will also experience more triggers of their hot flashes throughout the day. And eating too much sugar tends to have the opposite effect on our blood sugar, right? It increases it initially, and then we have a very, very low level of blood sugar can be as a side effect of too much eating too much sugar then lowers the blood sugar. And that is very hard on our body and can also make it difficult to keep our hormones at the appropriate level. If our body is trying to figure out how to manage all the extra sugar in our system, it will contribute to the difficulty in maintaining normal hormone levels.
Yeah, those are great points. And so many women, you know, will report if they've undergone a diet where they've cut out sugar, you know, the paleo diet's really popular and an effort for weight loss or, you know, whatever it is, the reason why they do it, getting sugar out of their diet does make a huge difference in their hot flashes. And then they realize that if they have some, it'll almost immediately trigger a hot flash. And as you talked about, same with alcohol, particularly, you know, red wines can be a big trigger for people. And the blood sugar issue and really anything that revolves around stress. You know, a lot of women will report that in a stressful environment, that'll induce a hot flash. They may get hot flashes at times when they feel very relaxed as well. But managing stress, that could be everything from doing deep breathing, meditation, looking at stressors in their life. I mean, of course, the lifestyle and the diet things and interventions do go hand in hand. And if you're a woman out there who's experiencing a lot of hot flash, vasomotor, menopausal symptoms, and you look at your diet and realize that you're eating a lot of junk food and sugar and having a glass of wine every night because you've been doing that, you know, with your husband every night for the last, you know, 10 years, it may be time to start looking at those things, and you may not realize how they're contributing to the hot flashes. And if we don't want to necessarily turn to hormones or even herbs or other things, that is definitely the place to start. And it can make a huge difference and contribute to health in other ways as well. So, Dr. Johnson, we're almost out of time. Any other things that you want to mention or discuss before we wrap up today's show?
I think you also just mentioned this briefly, is looking at overall lifestyle. And during this time, again, you know, there is the hormonal transition. It's a normal phase of life. This is something that women go through naturally, and our job is to help to figure out how to support the body so that there's less symptoms. Remembering lifestyle is such an important role and movement. Getting out there and doing some type of movement exercise that women enjoy on a regular basis most days, that also can be so helpful in making sure that our hormones stay at the best level possible and just filling that vitality for life, getting out there and moving our bodies.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jennifer. We got to wrap up today. I really appreciate you being on the show with us. That was Dr. Jennifer Johnson. She's the Associate Dean for Clinical Education and the Associate Professor in the School of Naturopathic Medicine at Bastyr University. Thank you, Jennifer, for being on with us today.
Again, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, everybody, that wraps up today's show. Hopefully you learned some really good tips when looking at diet, nutrition, and lifestyle for supporting the hormonal changes associated with menopause. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero, wishing you all the best of health. Until next time, take care.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.